are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Certainly, that's where you're at, Adventist World Radio's Afternoon Drive. And being Life Matters segment, we are talking leadership this afternoon. And leadership isn't just about achieving results. It's also about taking care of the team's well-being and making sure that your current and future leaders understand the importance of physical and mental well-being in the workplace and can communicate that to their team as a core skill, right? Now, this is especially true when it comes to maintaining a healthy team dynamic and achieving success together. The leader's role is essential in setting the tone here. So as we talk well-being, employee well-being, we are joined by our guest, Tony Friday, who is on the line to share more with us this afternoon. And good afternoon to you, sir. Welcome to the segment. Truly appreciate you joining us.
Appreciate it, Derek. How are you doing?
No, doing okay. And yourself?
How are you keeping up with the winter?
Hey, I know. We get used. That's what they say. How's it that side? I hear that Zim has been a bit chilly off late.
Oh, yeah. I was in Joburg for a week last week. I came back on Sunday. Oh, my goodness. I thought we had winter here, but Joburg is something else.
I always see when we do the news and the weather comes on and I hear what the temperature is, then you guys complaining, it's so cold. I'm like, okay, sure, guys. Hey, it's so cold. It's winter.
Yeah, but it's good to be here, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Not only a pleasure, and truly appreciate you accepting the invitation to come through, talk to us on this very important subject, employee well-being. It's one thing to expect productivity from the guys, right? But if they're not well, you ain't going to get much, I think.
Yeah.
What steps can leaders take, maybe as we jump straight into it, what can they do to promote healthy workplace and life, work-life balance, they call it, right, for their employees?
You see, the mistake that a lot of employers make is that, mm-hmm. you know, they forget that, you know, employees are human beings, they need to recharge, you know. If they're not well at home, they will not be well in the workplace.
So
I think, yeah, so I think one of the things that leaders in the workplace can do, number one, is to encourage, you know, flexible working hours. If there's options for remote working, mm-hmm. You know, please, you know, give your staff that. That is number one.
Okay.
Number two, to respect personal time. I'm sure you and I know, if you've worked in the corporate space, you know that sometimes you have to take work home.
Yeah.
And as late as 8, 9 in the evening, you're still getting emails and messages from your boss. Because you see, how it works is that we spend a certain number of hours in the workplace, and then we want to go home and enjoy our families and connect with the kids.
True.
That also helps us recharge. So when you mess with that, you know, you are essentially messing with the productivity of the employee. So allow people to have their personal time, no after-hour calls and emails, unless if it's something extremely urgent, like, you know, the office is catching fire, we need the keys that you have.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen very often. So, you know, as a leader, you can also, number three, lead by example, by taking breaks from work. If you as a leader start honoring your own personal time at home, you don't want any calls, you don't want any emails, you also encourage, you know, the other staff
to do that.
To do the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So take breaks. The lunch hour is pretty important. The tea break is pretty important. It's an opportunity for people to recharge and rejuvenate and come back more productive. And employers think that, you know, the more they overwork people, the more productivity, but actually productivity goes down the more you overwork people. But now they can't focus, they're mentally drained and tired, and they're not giving as they should. So those tea breaks, those lunch hours, actually chase people out of the office when it's lunch hour. Like, go get lunch, go take a walk, go have your caffeine or something, you know. Do something to recharge your mind. Do something that you enjoy. Play a game, play darts or whatever. But the point is really just to be away from work and come back recharged.
Yeah, that's profound. And I think if more employers would understand that, and I think it's that trick, right, to say, More productivity is not gained by more work. It's actually gained by allowing those breaks, and people come rejuvenated. And the more they do that, it's almost like breathing, right? Where the heart goes up, down, all the lungs go in, out. That is what keeps in function. Imagine if you just take in air, you don't have more oxygen by taking in more air. Just bring it in, guys. you end up dead.
You're absolutely right.
That balance is so necessary. And especially on that remote work, I remember somebody who was so excited to say, hey, please speak to my managers. They want me to come back to work. When they were talking about how people should come back to the office, they were like, come on, somebody needs to speak to them. Remote work is working for us. How can leaders create workplaces, especially the culture there, right? The workplace that has a culture that prioritizes mental health, to say, no, it's not just about the work that we do or the service we provide. Are you well mentally to provide it?
That is a very important question, man. So leaders have power to create good and bad days in the workplace, you know. I'm sure you know this. If the boss is having a good day, you also have a good day. If the boss is having a bad day, everybody has a bad day, you know. But so understanding that power helps them, you know, to use their power in the right way. Start by having those conversations about mental wellness in the workplace, you know. Approach people when you feel certain. Susan is feeling down, or she's not looking herself. Start with yourself. Like, approach people, start mental health conversations, you know. Also encourage people to open up about whatever it is that they, whether it's in their personal life or in the workplace, because this nurtures some really good relationships in the workplace. Imagine your boss coming to you and saying, John or Derek, I notice you haven't been yourself lately. If there's something that you want to talk about, like, imagine that, what that does to you. So bosses can start having mental health conversations in the workplace, you know. That's number one. Just encourage an environment of where people are free to talk about whatever it is that's happening in their personal lives. Like, imagine that somebody losing someone to death in their family, and then when they come back to work, call them in their office. Hey, how are you doing, Susan? I understand, you know, you lost your brother, your sister, or whatever. You know, support you. If there's anything that we can do to make your work easier during this period, you know, we are here for you. You know, if it means, you know, you work from home for a season while you are recovering from this traumatic event, then please do that. Yeah. So what that does is, it does the opposite of what employers think. What employers think it will do, because employers think when they do that, you know, when they encourage flexibility, people will take advantage. But it actually encourages a lot of loyalty amongst employees. You become a preferred employer, and people want to give more to the company when you treat them like that.
Like people, like so people.
So creating that environment of that mental health friendly environment in the workplace, it starts with the leaders as well. And number two, you know, encourage things like, you know, access to mental health services. Maybe have like an in-house counselor on standby, or give people access to mental wellness apps. We have stuff like that in Zimbabwe where we provide mental health services through an app in the toll-free number, where people that, companies that subscribe can actually have access to counselors 24/7, you know.
That's great.
That's number two. Number three, also train managers to recognize early signs of mental distress or whatever, you know. So when managers are taught mental health first aid, they are in position to do something about it because they are in senior position. So, you know, taking them through some kind of basic mental health training in the workplace, it really goes a long way in them being able to spot poor mental health when they see it in the workplace, and also being able to do something about it because they've been equipped with information and empowered with skills on how to start these conversations because they are in a much more senior and influential position.
So profound comment coming through here. Sometimes bosses who want to talk, they are red flags. I guess there needs to be a balance as well with some boundaries.
I know.
In what ways can leaders help employees cope with stress and burnout? I mean, sometimes deadlines are deadlines, no matter how much you want to say recharge, guys, but the deadline is there. There needs to be in the counter to say burnout is a real thing.
So burnout is a real thing, yes. But I think really it comes back to, I mean, if you ever get to a position of burnout,
mm-hmm.
it's because you have put unnecessary pressure on people and forgetting that these are human beings, right? So mm-hmm. one of the things that lives with that is, you know, encourage realistic workloads.
Okay.
Allow mental health days off or hours off or something, you know, like don't put people under too much pressure because it does the opposite of what you want it to do. And I know when managers do this, they want to encourage productivity and they want you to deliver. But in the process, it actually harms people. And people start to resent workplaces. Instead of giving more, they're actually giving less and less. So if you actually check the bottom line, for the companies that encourage, you know, healthy workloads, look at their stats. They're actually more productive when they take more time off than when they spend more time in the workplace. So just encouraging realistic workloads, implement regular check-ins with your team members, you know, check how they're doing.
Mm.
Show them that you care as a manager. You know, if someone is not coping, take it seriously. If somebody says, I have too much workload, please take it seriously.
Yeah.
I encourage them to take a day off or something. When they come back, they're much more productive than they were before. So the number one thing is really, really comes back to, you know, healthy workloads in the workplace. Like, do not overwork people. Make sure, because you are dealing with people that have emotions, that have mind and their body, and they need to be at their optimum to be able to deliver their best. So it comes back to the human being. So regular check-ins, how are you doing? Are you coping? Is it too much? You know, is there anything we can do to support you for you to reach this deadline in a healthy time? Then all of that stuff.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I think gone are the days where we should be impressed by an employee who, when you get to the office at 7, they're already there. At 6, when you're knocking off, they're still there. People used to be very like, hard work. Oh, this one, this is what we want, more of you. That should be a sign to say there's a problem. When do you spend time with your family? I remember a friend of mine was saying the other day that one of his team members would send emails in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and he was like, what are you doing? You should be sleeping with your family. Why are you up sending emails? Exactly.
That is a good situation. I encourage that.
Yeah. So I think we need more of that. And maybe let's talk some strategies actually to say, what are some of those that leaders can use to support employees, especially from a physical health or mental health appreciation?
You know, you can never overemphasize the need for physical activity, you know. So what some companies are starting to do, you know, they partner with gyms or wellness programs. Access. Almost force people to join the gym and maybe subsidize their gym membership or whatever, you know. But the point is, you understand that a human being is not just a mind, but they're also a body.
Yes.
You know? So the same way that you're looking after them mentally, encourage them to do some physical activity, you know. Some companies have company teams, whether it's soccer, netball, whatever. What the sport is does not even matter. The thing is just encourage movement and exercise.
Yeah.
Encourage movement, exercise, you know. But the whole idea is just to encourage people to join a game of sorts, you know. And if you can assist them to do that, then do that as an employer if your budget allows you. If not, then just encourage the team to take up some form of physical activity, to eat healthy, to get enough sleep, and to just look after themselves, physically, you know, provide healthy snack options in the office and hydration stations. That's also a good thing. Like, maybe like I have a water center in the workplace where people can go drink water there and just have like a peanut station somewhere in the corner where people can just go. These are just, you know, one of the many examples of things that you can do in the workplace to encourage, you know, healthy physical health, which is, you know, good for people. But the whole idea is to encourage people, help them to get physical activity, movement, and to eat healthy.
Especially in these office setups where we know that there's nothing. They get in there, they sit on the chair and face this screen for the next 6, 7, 8 hours. Mm-hmm. You definitely need another kind of an approach. And maybe as we close off, how can leaders ensure that employees feel valued and supported in their personal as well as their professional lives?
That's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
I'll take this to a family setup, right?
Okay.
Have you ever seen what happens when kids are uploaded, when they are celebrated, like every little milestone, no matter how small, there's like a celebration in the family. We're going to have dinner to celebrate this. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, mm-hmm. you came third. You came second in your race and this, and that. That can be copied and pasted in the workplace because people like to feel validated. People like to feel seen. People like to feel acknowledged. I mean, just imagine the last time somebody said to you, you know what, Derek, you're doing an amazing job, man. Thank you. Well done. Yeah. We're so proud of you. You know, you feel good, number one. And also you're encouraged to give over and above what you were giving before. Because validation is a human need. It's a need that we have as people to be seen, to be heard, to be validated. So celebrate personal milestones when people reach, you know, their targets, you know, have a bell in the office and then make noise about it. Have a system where, you know, if somebody reaches a target or something, you know, you do like a cake in the office, oh my goodness, and then you celebrate them, make them feel seen and heard and validated and celebrate them all the time. Yeah. That's number one. Also, offer things like mentorship and career development opportunities in the company, you know, assist people to further their education. Because when you do that, they feel supported and they feel like, you know what, this person cares more about me than just my input and my job description.
Yeah.
You know, they care more about my personal development. And companies that usually do that, they retain more staff than other companies, you know. So when you offer like benefits, maybe like it's a housing benefit, I know it's a bit too much, but maybe something on a smaller scale, help employees to progress in life. Like, what is it that you need? Is it like a small loan to improve your home or something, like, but just something to make them feel like they belong. Something that makes them feel like, you know what, I'm a part of this family. I'm not just coming here for a salary. I belong in this place. Those things will help you encourage your people to stay with your company and be loyal to a company, you know, and show interest in your people. Occasionally, take your staff out for lunch, you know. Have one-on-one conversations with all of them and ask them how your life is, how's the family, you know, how are things going. Not because you want to do something about it, but you just show concern. The act of just listening to someone shows them that you care more than just about the job that they are doing, you know. How are things at home, you know. How are the kids? If you know them by name, call them out by name. Chantel, you know, this makes you feel more connected to your team, and it's more important to feel it makes your team feel connected to you as the boss. And that all of these things that we're talking about help.
Okay, we just lost Mr. Friday. Let's see if we can try to reestablish that line. I don't know what happened there, so that we finish off our conversation. We are talking to Tony Friday this Wednesday as we're discussing issues of mental wellness and mostly in the workplace to say, hey, as employees, their corporate wellness, even from an emotional space, is very important. And he was just chatting to us. Mr. Friday, sorry, man, we just the line lost, got dropped there. Welcome back.
Hi, I think I lost you there for a moment.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that, you know, the more you show care for your people, the more your people will show up for your company.
That's so true. The more that happens, and I think people want to know that they're more than a cog, right? Just this piece of machinery in a big engine. Yeah. No. They want to know that they're valued, they matter, and they're actually more than that. That's so true. I got a comment coming through on our WhatsApp line to say, hey, some especially the old school bosses would feel like, hey, but we employed you to do this thing. Why should we praise you for doing the thing that you are employed to? They say, what, you can't praise a fish for swimming. What would be your response to that?
I think that's a very ignorant way of looking at employee welfare.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very old school, a very mechanical kind of approach to dealing with human beings. This was before we understood mental wellness. We understood that, you know, a human being is more than just a body. People are body, soul, and spirit,
yes,
and we need to
keep
all
to
of these things for a human being to function at the optimal. People are not machines. They're
right.
More than just numbers.
Yeah.
They're more than just an employee number. They are human beings who need to be catered for. If you want more from them, then you've got to give them more.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So, yeah.
No, certainly. Certainly quite profound. Well, thank you so much once again. Any final thoughts as we conclude today?
I would say, as an employer, if there is an employer listening, you have a lot more to gain in investing in mental wellness in the workplace than you have to lose.
Yep.
The more you invest in mental wellness in the workplace, the more your bottom line becomes better. Yeah, there's actually stats that show that for every dollar you invest in the workplace, you reap four more in just bottom line. And yeah, these are stats that have been done worldwide to just show that you have a lot more to gain in investing in mental wellness in the workplace than you have to lose.
Yeah, I like that. For every dollar you invest, you gain four more. That's quite profound. And I think if we looked at it, I think it's, I forgot, but one of these big corps, tech corps, CEOs was known to say, hey, let's invest in our staff. And someone, one of the managers was saying, hey, but what if we invest in them and then they leave? And then the response was, okay, but what if we don't invest and then they stay? That's a worse off situation for us, right? Because we're going to be stuck with these people who are not productive because they don't know better. And I think we need to have that balance. Well, Mr. Friday, thank you so much once again for talking to us. I truly appreciate your time and your wisdom, your counsel. It's valued.
Thank you so much, Derek. Chat soon.
Wonderful. Thank you. That's Tony Friday talking to us this afternoon right here on the Maranatha Drive. He comes through to us as the founder and director of the Global Institute of Emotional Health and Wellness and also creator of that digital wellness app, Nani Wellness. And he is also a certified happiness coach. So, you can get that conversation as a podcast right here on Adventist World Radio SID Media.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.